start with the halachas of we're going to cover Hamotzi and Mezonos tonight, and that how I should get through all of that. So I still owe you for Repurates and those issues in Iker and Tofel, so that we have to another share at some point in time. We'll have to give another share. So I call them to be two parts. It's going to be probably three or four parts. Okay. So there's a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz, which we say on bread. Now, bats and bread, if you look at bread and you look at Mezonos, they don't look quite different. They seem to be very similar. So why is that? So Chazal understood that a person when eats pas, the psukim say, Rashi mentions in Chumash, that the pita is the ikar of the sudata, it's the main part of the suda. And therefore, because it's the main part of the suda, it's nikva with its own special bracha, but mutzi lechem in oritz. Another halacha that it has, unique more than mezonos, is the idea that the other foods of the meal are included in the bracha. So if a person it makes a mezonos dish, and there's a combination of mezonos and other foods in the dish, so the bracha on the mezonos will work with other foods. If a person has a mezonos, and besides having mezonos, he also has some meat, independent of the mezonos, he has to make a mezonos and a shahako. The person washes for the meal, and he says a moitzi, and he eats some meat, so we say that the bracha of the meat is included in the bracha of the moitzi. So the everything else becomes secondary to the bread and the meal, and the bracha of the bread includes everything else also. So that's the second element we have. So it gets its own special bracha and becomes so significant as a definition of that is the meal, that therefore everything else becomes, well, almost everything else, anything which is eaten normally as part of a meal will become secondary to the bread. So to get the status of bread and have this unique status of bread as opposed to being the bracha of mezonos, there are going to be five criteria which have to be met to be able to give it that special status. So the first one is the most basic one, which we understand is that it has to be one of the five minei dog and the five type species of grain, as opposed to from rice. So it's barley, it's rye, it's oats, it's wheat, or it's spelt. And the mnemonic for that is browse, B-R-O-W-S is browse. So that's how you remember them. So it's barley, rye, oats, wheat, and spelt. So it's one of the five species of, so it becomes the ikar of the suda and everything else is included, etc. You make rice bread, that wouldn't be true. They wouldn't have the same halacha. Okay. Number two, it has to be baked. If a person takes a dough, he takes a yeast dough, and it's not a batter, it's a dough, and it looks like bread, etc. And he bakes it he boils it instead of baking it, then it does not get a status of pas to have a loch of a mitzi lachim in oritz. That's the second criteria, which is necessary to give it the status of. Now, we're going to say the five points, and then we'll go back and maybe clarify each one of them in more detail. So, bagel, of course, the first question: bagel is you boil a bagel. The other end of the spectrum, so you boil donuts. Deep frying in halacha is equivalent of boiling something. So if you deep fry your donuts, you make a yeast donut. So you deep fry it. So it's not going to be a moitzi. It's going to be a mezonos. Okay. There's going to be a dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, but if there are other ingredients mixed into the dough, that can downgrade its status of being hamotzi into being a mezonos. How much that has to be mixed in to order to downgrade it, we'll see in a second. Number four is that it has to be made for a meal, not for a snack. So if we make something which we call them breadsticks, but people don't eat breadsticks as for a meal. People take breadsticks for a snack. So that's why they eat breadsticks. So breadsticks are mezonos. Even when we call them breadsticks, but they're not eaten for a meal, they're eaten for a snack. And the fifth criteria in halacha is that it looks like bread. Which is, you can have something maybe which people will eat it for a meal, etc., but it's pasta. A person makes a meal out of pasta. So even if you bake your pasta, but it looks quite different than what bread looks like. Now, you can sometimes make something which is somewhere in the middle. So let's say some people's crepe dough looks somewhat bread-like. So that's, but we get involved in the other ingredient issue. So those are the five points. Again, that it has to be one of the five species of grain. It's baked and not boiled. doesn't have other ingredients in it. It's made for a meal, not for a snack. And it looks like bread. So those are the five criteria which allow something to be hamotzi lechem in aretz and not a mezonos. Okay. Once something is considered bread, there are times when it will lose its status of bread depending on what you do to it afterwards. Right now we're talking about baked and not boiled. We're talking about the dough is baked and the dough is not boiled. What about you bake the dough and you make bread, and later on you go and boil the bread? What happens then? We'll talk about that afterwards. We're not there yet. Right now we're talking about the original time when you make your original process of making it. It's baked and not boiled. Okay. So those are the five points which make something hamotzi and not a mezonos. The first one is very clear. Five species as opposed to rice bread or something, millet bread, or some of the, you can go to the, nowadays I'm sure you can go into these health food stores and they can give you bread made out of many different types of grains. That's not going to have the status of amoids. The second point is like this. So we take a dough and we boil it instead of baking it. So what's the halacha within that situation? So, we're going to learn later on in this year that a kazayis, because of the significance of the amount which is we're dealing with, has a certain mila, a certain power of maintaining its status over less than a kazayis. So here's the question like this. A person makes a dough, which is a thick dough. So a thick dough is chayiv and chala. So a person makes a dough, which is chayv and challah, which means you're looking at it, it's lechem, which the psukim refer to dough, the chayv of challah, because it's lechem. So I make this dough, which is a thick dough, it's chayv and challah, and now I boil it. So does it lose its status of being considered hamotzi? So it's less than a kazayis, what I'm boiling, so the answer is yes. If however, what I'm boiling right now is the size of a kazayis, it's a machloikis and halacha. So a person takes a dough, which is chayv and challah, is mafresh challah, let's say, and then they boil it. So criteria number two, you didn't bake it, you boiled it. But since it was a kazayis, possibly that should confer its status. It had a status of lechem and retains the status of lechem. So a person makes a krepel. A krepel is a kazayis. Right, so it started out, you make a krepel dough, it's a thick dough. So if you make a shear to be a krepel dough, you're making a lot of krepelach, so to be chayv and challah. Right? And now you're boiling it. So does it lose its status of hamotzi? So the Mechaber brings two opinions on that point, whether it loses its status of hamotzi or not. And he says, and therefore a person should only eat it during a meal. It's not to get involved in the shiloh. Another example of this, theoretically, would be donuts, a yeast donut. A person makes a yeast dough for donuts, and then they boil it afterwards. So if the pieces that they're boiling are kazayas, so it would potentially maintain its status of hamoitzi, and therefore the Koran, the Shulchan Aruch, at first glance, you should only eat it during the meal. Now, that's not exactly correct, because the next halacha kicks in, is that there are other ingredients in the dough. So the krepel dough is pretty much, it's a flour and water, maybe a little bit of salt, maybe a little bit of oil, but it's a very basic dough. Whereas the donut, which you have other things in the dough, but when you boil it in the oil, the flavor of the dough changes very much due to the boiling in the oil, so that's considered as if equivalent to mix other ingredients in it. So it will change its status to a mezonos because it has other ingredients in it. So far, the correct bracha on yeast donuts is mezonos. But here's where it becomes a significant point. We'll discuss that around. If a person eats a certain amount of mezonos, it goes back to being bread. Well, if you hold that boiled dough is not bread, even if you eat a lot of it, it's not bread. And the bracha remains mezonos and alamichya. If you have boiled dough is considered bread, which was downgraded, so then when you eat a lot of it, it'll go back to being bread.
So now you have a, if you eat a lot of donuts, you have a suffix. What do you do at the end? Do you bench or do you say mezonos?
So therefore, if a person plans to eat a large amount of yeast donuts, you should only eat a teichas suda. Otherwise, you're going to have a very big problem what to do at the end. So, I mean, you might have other problems anyway with your weight issues, etc. But besides that, you should be aware of that there's a significant issue. Now, batter donuts is a different ball game, and that's not our issue. The same thing with kreplach. A person's going to have a lot of kreplach, right? So you have the same issue. So even though the kreplach have this filling in it, which also would allow it to become a mezonos, but if you have a lot of kreplach, you should only eat a lot of kreplach, teichas suda. Okay. The other ingredients. So what is this idea of other ingredients? So you've heard of a phrase called pasavabakistan, bread-like mezonos products, whatever you want to call it, whatever the name for it is. So what is pasavabakistan? Pasavabakistan is this concept that instead of that you come to the Rheingold's house for a Shabbos suda, and she's, my wife serves kokish cake. It's the exact same dough, almost as challah dough. Right? It's a yeast dough, which rises, with some oil in it and some sugar in it, and so, you know, etc. And the bracha is mezonos. Why is the bracha mezonos? Why isn't the bracha hamotzi? Right? So there's a concept in halacha called pasavo bakistan. So what is the idea behind pasavo bakistan? So pasavo bakistan is a phrase which the Gemara uses, and there's three ways machlokes to understand what the word kistan means. Kistan is, does it mean a kis, which means a pocket? So you picture a hamantashen, something of that sort, where you've taken the dough and you've mixed other ingredients inside of the dough. There's a filling inside, and the Rambam points out that in the filling, when you bake it together, the filling imparts its flavor into the dough also, and that's required to have. So that changes it. That this is, even though it's a bread-like consistency, and really it's bread. It's pas. It is bread. It's bread which is eaten as a snack and not as a meal. Because it has other ingredients, it has a pocket that makes it that the average person doesn't use this for a meal. Average person uses this for a snack. And since the whole advantage and significance of bread, that it gets a special bracha of hamotzi, and everything else becomes secondary to it, and all those halachos of bread is because it's a meal, and this is eaten as a snack. So if it's eaten as a snack, so therefore it's going to be a mezonos instead of a hamotzi. Which then is very logical. We understand if that's the logic behind it. If a person will eat a lot of it and make a meal out of it, of course the bracha is hamotzi, because that's really, really it's bread. But it's bread which has lost its advantage of being bread because it's normally eaten as a snack. So if I turn around and I eat it as a meal, so of course the bracha is going to be hamotzi lechem in ords. It's not, Rashad is, I'm adding a new chumrah on my paskins and making it hamotzi. It's the other way around. I made a kula, I made it to a mezonos by eating it as a snack. If I don't eat it as a snack, of course, the bracha has to be hamotzi. You have to wash, say hamotzi, and you have to bench at the end. That's the logic behind pasavo bakistan. So that's the first explanation of pasavo bakistan. Yes.
What counts as making it a meal?
We're going to get to that. So that's the first explanation. So it's it has a pocket filled with other ingredients. So now, if that's the, according to this understanding, that's what it's behind. So there's a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. On one side, and the Taz on the other side. What type of filling works for this? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Ramah and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah all say it has to be a sweet filling. Because sweet filling is something which a person eats as a snack, and not as a meal. But if it's going to be a meat filling, it's chicken pot pie. Chicken pot pie is a pocket. It's a dough with a pocket. And there's food. There's a filling inside. But you don't need it as a snack. That's a meal, because you put in something which is meat. The nature of putting meat inside is indicative of the fact you want to use it as a meal, not as a snack. And therefore, the bracha will be in that situation hamotzi. So, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the bracha is hamotzi on chicken pot pie. Okay. And then he says, "What about gevina?" He says the same thing with gevina, because the average person you put cheese inside. Right, you put. I'm not talking about, you know, cheese Danish. I'm talking about the person makes filling inside with cheese that usually was used as a meal. One example of that, of course, is pizza. Right. So according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, is pizza should be hamotzi. The Taz says no. A filling is a filling. Once it's a filling inside, so the bracha is going to be mezonos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, if that's true, so he says, you know, what should we do?
So he says, best thing to do is, in that situation, is eat it during a meal. That's why you won't get involved in the shalom bracha to make on it. You have some other bread, eat a teich asuda. Rishon Zalman came along and he said that we're going to invoke the next principle is that bread is because it's made for meal, not for a snack. So let's look at what the reality is. So franks and blanks. Franks and blanks is a mezarnus with a meat filling. Well, according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, a mezarnus with a meat filling is hamotzi. But nobody eats franks and blanks as a meal. You take one or two for a snack. So because the nature of the way it's used is that it becomes used for a snack, and therefore the bracha will be still mezarnus. And economy, obviously, if a person would take a large plate of franks and blanks, and again, not hit your cholesterol, it would have a lot of issues, etc. But and make a meal out of it, of course the bracha is going to be a mitzvah. So Rosh Hashanah said, so there comes the pizza, would say the same thing. So in a country where the nature of the way it's eaten is eaten as a meal, so we have to assume that halacha that has a status of it, we have to be choshish, like the opinion of the Magen of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, and the Mishabura, and the bracha is going to be hamotzi. In a country, he says, where the people use it as a snack, so then it'll be a mezarnus. In a country where it goes both ways, so it'll depend why you're eating it. Okay. So I have to tell you that, you know, you always say that there's always some interesting thing that the government is doing. You always wonder why they're doing it. So the government funded a 3-year study on the pizza eating habits of Americans. They spent like $100 million on this study to understand the pizza eating habits of Americans. Like the people eat, how many slices do people eat, how often do they eat during, you know, how many times a week do people eat pizza. Do people use it for meals, etc.? And they came out, according to the study, that 8 out of 10 Americans who eat pizza eat it as a meal, not as a snack. So, Ray Badner from Lakewood came along and says, you know, Ramosha issued a psak about pizza 50 years ago, and he says that when pizza was just making its debut in America, as it were. And Ramosha said that one slice of pizza is a mezarnus, and two slices of pizza is a mitzvah. He says, but according to now, the habits of eating in America have changed. We'd have to assume that even one slice of pizza it will be considered a mitzvah. That seems to be correct. The way my understanding is that seems to be correct nowadays, that most people eat pizza, and therefore even if I would eat it as a snack, but since in this country it's eaten basically for meals, people eat the pizza is a meal for people. So therefore the correct bracha on pizza should be a mozi, even if you're eating one slice. Now that's going to make some waves, but that's how I understand the halacha. Okay. So that is the one definition of a possible bakistan. The second definition of possible bakistan is there are other ingredients in the dough itself. The dough itself has other things mixed into it. So there's, besides the flour and the water, which would be your bare bones of bread, there's oil and there's sugar and there's eggs and there's spices and all other things mixed in also. So therefore, that downgrades it from hamotzi to mezarnus. And again, because the nature of these type of things, usually these type of things are eaten as a snack, not as a meal. And therefore, again, if you would eat it as a meal, whatever that means, we'll see in a second. Eat it as a meal, or more, not in a second, but a few minutes. Right? Eat it as a meal, so the bracha is going to be hamotzi. But if you eat it as a snack, so it's going to be mezarnus. So what's called, how much other ingredients do you have to be able to get that? So this is a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch says, as long as the flavor is discernible. So Svarim, which are choshish for the Shulchan Aruch, some of them are very careful with the Moshul on Shabbos. They only use water challah to say a mitzvah for Shabbos, because you have to have your meal on bread, and so the average challah which you buy in the bakery, there's a discernible flavor of other things besides the flour and the water. Now, there's eggs and there's oil and there's sugar, etc. It doesn't taste like it would taste if it just be flour and water. So therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the bracha would be mezarnus. Now, again, if you make a meal out of it, the bracha would be a mozi, but then that question, what's the definition of making a meal? They don't want to get involved in that. They used to use water kal, which is basically plain flour and water and a little bit of salt. So that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says no, the amount of flavor which has to be, that it's a significant amount, that it would change the almost the majority of the flavor comes from the other spices. So it's a large amount of oil, a large amount of sugar, a large amount of eggs, a large amount of spices. It's really changing the flavor to something very different than what bread would be. So that's really changing it from being bread to being a mezonos. But just a little bit of the fact that you taste the flavor, so the regular challah you buy in the store, the mice, that's still bread as far as the Ramah is concerned. You can make a moitzi, and even you'll eat a little bit, the bracha would be until you'd wash, you'd say a moitzi, and you would bench afterwards. Okay, so this leads us to the question of what's called mezonos rolls, right? So mezonos rolls, right? What's the story behind mezonos rolls? They have this great idea that if we, instead of making it with water, they use apple juice. Now apple juice does not have a very strong flavor. And that's why a mezonos roll tastes a little bit sweeter than an average roll, but that's about it. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we could argue that the correct bracha, so if a person who's a Svardi, you taste the flavor, it tastes different than a regular roll because it's a little bit sweeter due to the apple juice, so the bracha is going to be mezonos. Yes. The problem is if you're an Ashkenazi, you follow the psak of the Ramah, so that flavor is not significant enough that it would change the flavor to downgrade it to be a mezonos. So they have nothing to stand on. What's this mezonos roll thing about? So they're standing on a marsham. Rasham comes along and he says that this halacha is only if there's some water there. But there's no water at all. There's no water at all. And there's only fruit juice in it. Then that's enough. There's no need for a flavor change. That itself changes the whole metzias. This is not bread. Bread you make with flour and water. This is bread with apple juice. Flour with apple juice. That's not bread. Right? So there you go. And that's the argument. That's the Rasham. The problem is that's what the Marsham says. But Rebelsky Shlita points out that if you look at the truth of the Marsham himself, he says when I say fruit juice, I don't mean squeezed fruit juice or pressed fruit juice. I mean boiled fruit juice. If you take a fruit and you boil it and you get that and you get the flavor like a soup, and you take that flavor, which is a very very strong flavor, and you make that with no water, yes, that's automatically going to be a mezonos. That's what the Marsham says. But if it's squeezed apple juice or pressed apple juice, all bets are off. The Marsham himself says that situation, you're back to square one, and the brachas are moitzi. So mezonos rolls have very little to stand on to argue that they should be considered a mezonos. Now, so again, the mezonos roll is a misnomer. One other argument, and we'll see, we'll talk about what he says, even if it is a mezonos, if you eat it as a meal, it becomes a moitzi. Now, what's called eating as a meal? So we have to explain that still. We'll get to that soon. Okay, the third explanation of the definition of pasavo bakisnin is that it is something which you crunch on. The Morse says, a person would take kernels and crunch on them is called being koses them. Chavav samach samach. So the word pasavo bakisnin comes from the difference between lokos, to chew, to munch on something. So if it's a crunchy type of a thing, it's a hard type of a cracker, so then the bracha is mezonos and not hamotzi. That's the third explanation of the definition of pasavo bakisnin. So therefore, pretzels, hard pretzels, or breadsticks, or something of that sort, which is made to be a hard type of item, so the bracha is mezonos and not hamotzi. Those are the three explanations of pasavo bakisnin. Again, and we'll repeat the point again. They are pas, which by nature, where they're made, are eaten as a snack, and therefore they're downgraded to mezonos. If you eat them as a meal, they go back to the original status of being pas, and the bracha is hamotzi. These three opinions, do they agree with each other? Do they agree with each other? Now, why is that relevant? Because there's a halacha at the end of a meal. A person comes at the end of a meal. You have dessert. You make a bracha on dessert. So, person brings out some fresh fruits. No question. Everybody agrees. You make a bracha at the end of the meal and fresh fruit. Person brings out cooked fruit. Well, again, most opinions will say that the bracha, you have to make a bracha. Person brings out some ice cream, some jelly beans, whatever it is. You have to make a bracha at the end of the meal. If a person brings out pasavo bakisnin, the Shulchan Aruch says you make a bracha of mezonos at the end of the meal on the pasavo bakisnin. Okay, that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Person brings out dessert, pasavo bakisnin. You make a bracha of mezonos on the dessert. So comes along the Krieger. Krieger says, one second. We have three opinions. So opinion A says the definition of pasavo bakisnin is that it has a pocket. What does that opinion hold about crunchies, about pretzels? Rishayi says he holds pretzels are bread. You make a moitzi on, according to that opinion, pretzels, you make a moitzi on them. That's the first opinion. So you make a moitzi on them, so we're making all three opinions. We're leaning into all three opinions, we say mezonos on all three. But in the lurking in the background is, according to one opinion, really the bracha wasn't mezonos, it was hamoitzi. So now, at the beginning of my meal, I said hamoitzi. You're with me. So according to opinion A, the definition of pasul b'kisson is pockets. If I have pretzels at the meal, I said hamoitzi already. This is hamoitzi. It's not mezonos. This is hamoitzi. According to opinion that it says the definition of pasul b'kisson, it has a lot of flavor in it. So again, if it's something crunchy, then the meal, it's hamoitzi. I already said hamoitzi. Well, I can't make a mezonos now. But if I have something which meets all three criteria, the correct bracha will be you make a mezonos on it. What's an example? That apple pie, a apple pie, two layered apple pie. So the dough is a flaky, crunchy type of a dough. There's a pocket in the middle, and there's a lot of other ingredients, a lot of oil in the dough. So according to all three opinions, Mishnah points out you'd make a mezonos. So if a person has a closed faced apple pie, as opposed to an open faced apple pie, so it has two. It has a pocket. So the correct bracha at the end of the meal, you would make a mezonos on your apple pie at the end of the meal when you eat it for dessert. And that's the Mishnah Berurah path. Now there's another opinion, which is the Maamar Mordechai, which says no, that the three opinions agree with each other. And they're all giving different examples of something which is a snack and not a meal. But they all agree with the premise that there's something which is a snack and not a meal. So therefore, let's say I have a new example now. We came with something now which Chazal didn't think of, which is eaten as a snack and not as a meal. So according to that argument, if they all agree with you, they're all just Chazal giving different examples of snacks. So we came up with a new example. Nowadays, this is a snack. So the bracha will be mezonos, and we could actually change the status of something from once upon a time. So we could argue if the nature of, let's say, mezonos rolls, if the people only eat it as a snack, right? That would be true. So then you could say, but I don't think that's true. But if that would be true, that now. So where is that relevance? Bagel chips, right? So if I make bagel chips in my own house. So that's an example which something which is made the chachila to it was bread, or I make bread croutons. I take leftover challah, it was bread, and I toast it very well in a low heat so it doesn't burn. I put it in the oven, I put it in the oven with some oil and some spices, and I let it bake at a very low heat for a long time, and it gets baked all the way through. And I have bread croutons. The bracha on those croutons is hamoitzi. They started out as bread; they haven't lost their status of bread. But if you go to a company which commercially makes, they make the dough with the intention of using it for croutons. So they're made to be, they're not made to be a mainstay of a meal. They're made to be croutons, or the bagel chips are made to be, you know, to be eaten as a snack. So then according to this argument, the bracha would be mezonos. So now this is relevant. So let's say you have a place where that they don't make it. They take a baker which takes their leftover challah and makes bread croutons out of it. Those croutons are hamoitzi. You buy commercial croutons which the company makes the dough and makes the bread in order to then make it into croutons. So then the bracha will be a mezonos. Melba toast. All right. So melba toast. The correct bracha melba toast according to this would be mezonos. Because most people use it as a snack, not as a meal, and it's made the chachila for that with intention to make it into a mezonos, not to be a moitzi. But if you want to make your own melba toast at home and something like that, that we hold it for a ball game, because you're taking leftover bread or whatever it is, and you're making it into that's going to remain hamoitzi. Okay.
The pita chips also fall in that category.
The same thing. So the commercial pita chips would be a mezonos. Again, if you eat too much of them, you're gonna get back to be careful with it. They're very nobody. It's like Lay's potato chips. Nobody can eat just one. You have to be careful in the definition. Okay. So that's our definition of. We have definitions of pasul b'kisson. So you said pasul b'kisson, if you eat it as a meal, not as a snack. So the bracha changes from back to its original chashivas of pas. It was really pas, which lost its chashivas because it's made to be a snack. Since you have conferred back onto it the usage of a meal, it goes back to its original status of being hamoitzi, with washing hamoitzi and benching afterwards. So what's called making it into a meal?
Okay, so we're going to give. Let's start with the easy case, and then we'll work from the easier case to the more challenging case. If a person would take a large amount and make a meal out of it, Mr. Burris says an example of that would be equivalent of about, and this would change. We'll see what it means to change. His example is six bayim's worth, six kebayim's worth. We mentioned before in the shiur that there's something called a kezayis, something called a kebaya. The size of a kebaya is the about the size of one. If you take a loaf of two pound rye, take a slice out of the middle, and a bakery loaf of 2 pound rye, take a slice out of the middle. That's a kebaya. Person has that amount of mazarnas, six of those, six slices worth of mazarnas. That's a meal already. Mishabur said that, but that point of six kebaya, most people, that's already satiates most people. People can make a meal out of that. There's no other food right now at this point in time. We're just talking about a person's sitting down, making a meal out of that. I had a chaver in yeshiva. So Friday lunches was in our days was a leftovers of everything from the week. So there's some tuna from Monday, and there was some lasagna from Tuesday. So they used to put out some of the Shabbos cake also for the guys who couldn't eat anything else. So that my chaver said, you know, listen, why be stupid? He would take a plate of cake, he would wash, eat cake and bench. That was all he did. That was Friday lunch every week was a plate of cake. So that's no shayla. That's he made a meal out of his cake. So the cake is considered hamotzi and you bench in it. Now the Mishnah points out the amount that we're saying is considered a meal depends on different groups. So we're going to look at what's for a child. Or for a very elderly person and a person who's in his 30s, it's going to be different amounts. Men and women are also going to be different amounts, right? The average teenage girl is eating different than the average 40-year-old woman. You know, so the difference in age, also difference in groups. Between a man and a woman, each group is looked at differently. So, getting back to the pizza scenario, right? Even if you said pizza is mazarnas, you know, you're dealing with a 5-year-old kid. That's a meal, one slice of pizza. So for them, the correct bracha would be washing, hamotzi, and benching. Even though for an adult, you could argue one slice of pizza is not a meal, because most adults have two slices, or maybe three, and teenage boys have three slices, you know, if they could, you know, if their mothers would let them, and pay for it, right? They wouldn't. So you might look at different groups differently, but you have to look at each group separately. So an elderly person who eats much more minimally is going to have a different shear, the definition of what's called a meal, than somebody younger. So that's the first definition. A person eats an amount which normally people would eat to be satiated from. Number one. Okay, number two, comes the Magen Aram. The Magen Aram says that the Gemara says that a shear of a suda is 3 or 4 kebaya. The Gemara says a shear of a suda is 3 or 4 kebaya, so the equivalent of 3 slices of rye bread. So Mishabur says that's very difficult to understand because most people make a meal out of more than that. When the Gemara says that, the Gemara was saying that a minimal meal is 3 or 4 kebaya. So if you want a person has a minimal meal, the smallest thing you would have is that amount, but it's not an average meal. But he says, but since the Magen Aram said it, so it's going to get a status of a questionable area. So a person should not eat that amount of mazonos because you're in a twilight zone. According to the Magen Aram, it should be hamotzi and benching. According to other opinions, it should be mazonos and alamichya. So what do you do? You should not eat that amount or only eat such amount once you've washed and eaten other things besides. So a person should try to stay away from eating the amount of the equivalent of 3 or 4 kebayim of mazonos. A person should stay away from that. That's number two. So that's a questionable amount. A person should stay away from that. Third possibility is the Magen Aram presents the following halacha. We live, Baruch Hashem, and this is all, so far we're talking about, this is the meal was made solely of these mazonos items. So a person sits down, you know, they're sitting down to study, and they pull out a sleeve of crackers, and they're going to munch crackers, right? So by the time they go through a whole sleeve of crackers, you've definitely eaten, you know, a large amount of mazonos at that point in time. So by the time you get the, biskvitim, you know, you have your tea biscuits, you get a whole sleeve of ketam tea biscuits, you're in your twilight zone at least for sure. I think my wife told me that Rav Gan Shlita was, you know, when they were in Beis Yaakov Seminary in BJJ, he said 17 biskvitim is a sheer suda. You know, so I don't know what exactly how big a biskvit is, you know, but whatever. Okay, such an idea. However, we Baruch Hashem live in a society where we have other foods besides. Okay, we have other foods besides. So what is the amount of mezonos that you'd have to eat? You're having other foods besides to be considered you made a meal out of your mezonos. See, it says like this. So let's say, for argument's sake, a person was just eating bread, you'd eat 6 slices of bread. If I'm having tuna with my bread, I'm only going to have 3 slices of bread. Right? If I'm having other foods with it, I'm going to have much less of the bread. So if I eat the equivalent amount of mezonos that you would eat bread in such a meal, that's also going to be hamotzi. Okay, with me? So I tell you that an average, if a person wants down and have a lunch of tuna and crackers, if I eat the amount of crackers that a person who was having a tuna sandwich would have that amount of volume of bread, if I have that volume of crackers, it now becomes upgraded to hamotzi and benching. You with me? Okay? Then he takes it one step further, okay? So we started with the simple case of a person, he has a large meal of just mezonos. We discussed the case of a smaller amount of mezonos. Now we're talking about mezonos being accompanied with other foods. Okay, now the Magen Avraham and Rav Moshe said you should be cautious for the halacha l'maaseh, you should be concerned about this Magen Avraham. You should refrain from that, if possible. So he says, okay, now, I just told you that it's possible that, let's say, for argument's sake, if you tell you that just biskvitim alone is 17 biskvitim, I tell you just crackers alone, it's 20 crackers. But 10 crackers is the same amount of bread as you would have. So 10 crackers with tuna is going to be a problem. Let's say I'm not so hungry. And I just have 10 crackers alone. And those 10 crackers satiate me. So I've eaten an amount which people use as a meal. This much more than people use as a meal, and for me, it satiated me just alone with nothing else. So the Magen Avraham says you say amoitzi and you bench. So Rashi says we should take that Magen Avraham into consideration. If we should try and refrain from being in that situation, not to get involved in a questionable area of halacha. So again, so the Magen Avraham says if I eat the equivalent of mezonos, which a person would use for a meal when there's other food there, and I have no other food there, but I'm full from it. So that situation, I would have a chiv to bench, I have a chiv to wash and to bench in that situation. So we should try and stay away from that situation. Okay, so that's the vast majority of poskim say our definition of what's called making it into a meal is not based on my intent, but it's based on the amount that I eat. Is there anybody who says that we define the definition of making it a meal or snack based on my intent? So there is one opinion. There's a sefer called Maisa Nisim from the Nesivist, the Rabbi Yaakov Melissa. See a sefer called Maisa Nisim, and he suggests that if a person would eat it as a snack, smaller, you know, I don't think he's willing to say large amounts, but if a person eats something as a snack, so that would give it a din of a snack, and that's a very limud schus and how people deal with certain things, but the vast majority of poskim in Shulchan Aruch Mishnah does not paskin like that. Rashi doesn't paskin like that. Other poskim do not paskin like that. We define the definition of making something meal based on amount. Okay, so that's the possible b'kistin. So that's number three in our list. Okay, that really explains number four, which is the idea of eating it as a meal, not as a snack. Number five is that it looks like bread. So we have, if it doesn't look like bread, it's mezonos. So if a person makes oatmeal, and you know, we were just up in New York. In New York, they have a certain way, they do everything with a certain flair. We once went to this restaurant and we asked, they said they have breakfast is 3 pancakes. Each pancake was like this. You know, it's, you know, one pancake was a whole meal. So, you know, we didn't realize. Next time we said, we'll buy one and we'll split it between the 3 of us, you know. So we ordered oatmeal this time. The oatmeal was like the size of this big bowl, you know. It's definitely a sheer, but it's not, doesn't look like bread. And it's cooked, it's baked, it's boiled, it's not baked. So you eat as much as you want. The bracha is mezonos and alam echit yet. Because it's not made as bread. Yeah.
And the crackers don't look like bread either.
Crackers, well, I mean, as much as you call matzah lechem arni, the problem is that they're around. Why in the world are we making matzahs? We call matzah like a lechem. We look at matzah as a form of lechem also. Pita, matzah, there's old forms of lechem as far as we're concerned.
So you would say snack, like crackers would be like snackers or something like that. Those crackers would be like bread.
Right, correct.
So now, we say pasta, the assumption of halacha, pasta, your spaghetti, macaroni, lasagna, etc., also does not have tara lechem. See, even if you would bake it, again, if you just boil it, so you just boil it. So you can eat as much as you want. If a person wants to have a very large meal of spaghetti and meatballs, you know, just like pour on all the spaghetti as much as they want, no problem. You know, it's 18 kebeyas worth. It doesn't make a difference. But the bracha is going to be mizernus and alamit at the end. So that is the definition of what's something which defines it as tara lechem. But even if you would bake, you'd make a baked lasagna. You make a baked ziti, right? So you're baking it, but even so, it's a totally different type of process. How it's made, it's a totally different type of an item, and therefore the bracha is not going to be hamotzi and benching. It's going to be a mezonos alamichya. Another nafkamin, of course, is there's no din of afrashas chal. A person would make their own pasta. You have pasta machines. Right, so a person makes a yeast dough. This is a chiyuv chal. If you ever shear chal, you make a lot of kakash cakes. You know, make it one time, make six kakash cakes at a time. You're mafresh chal with a bracha. Right, the person would make a large batter. You don't make you're not mafresh chal when it's in a batter state, but once you bake it, it gets a bread like consistency. So it's a chiyuv afresh chal after you bake it. Person makes a batter, and if they have a large, big sheet cake, a gigantic big sheet cake, so it's bread. So you're mafresh challah. You make pasta, flour and water, and you make your whole machine, and you make this gigantic thing of pasta. You're not mafresh challah. It's not bread. There's no shaykhus to be considered bread, and for that's why the bracha is alamichya, is mezonos and alamichya. Okay. So that is pas. And pasta b'kistin, and some which are not considered pasta b'kistin. So your pastas, your cook, your farina, those type of things are not considered pasta b'kistin.
What about tortilla
wrap? So wraps are an interesting question. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses a case where you make a dough, a very thin type of a dough, and I don't mean thin consistent, but it comes a very thin result, a very thin type of a thing. So it says at some point in time, if it's so thin it doesn't have tara lechem, it's not considered, it looks like bread anymore. How thin is thin is questionable. It gives an example of that, something which is called vafelin. What's an example of vafelin in the halacha is you buy a wafer, the vanilla filled wafers. So that wafer though is not considered a source of pas. If you want to eat mezonos and you want to have a lot of them, ksuntahet. You can eat as much of those. I mean, I'm not suggesting it's good for your cholesterol, but if you can take those wafers and eat as much as you want, there's no din of hamotzi and benching afterwards. So one of the questions that comes is when they make the wraps. So apparently, after doing a little bit of research, I don't have a definitive answer on that. Some there are different companies make it different ways. Some actually make it a thicker type of a dough and they press it. So then the correct bracha would be hamotzi. It's basically used like bread, so it's going to be hamotzi and benching. And some make a very thin dough. They make it at this very thin type of consistency, and that's how they make it. They let it spread out. So then the bracha would be mezonos, and even as much as you eat, the still bracha would be mezonos and benching. So you have to find out each company how they make it. So Starkey has done some research into it, and you have to really call them and find out once you get the name of the company. You can call them and ask them how it's made and what's the bracha on it. So I don't have more definitive list of what's what on that.
What about ones wraps that are green or red or something?
That in general, that shouldn't make a difference. I mean, if it's... I mean, first of all, I'm cynical. I don't know how much is food coloring and how much is real. But that's besides being cynical. But it's from spinach. I mean, it doesn't taste like spinach. I don't taste any spinach in there. Broccoli.
That doesn't look like bread. When was the last time you saw green bread?
The color itself doesn't. It's more the consistency, which is the definition, which defines something which is bread-like or not bread-like. Okay, so the color alone shouldn't change the halacha. It is a question. You have to really find out where they get it from. Okay, let's move on to
French toast, challah kugel, matzah brei. So you're processing your pasta and you're making it into something else. So what happens over there? What's the halacha? So it's, you know, let's start with what we know for sure. So person has problem chewing. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about an example. Person is an elderly person who has problem chewing. So he wants to take matzah the night of the Pesach, grind it up, and eat it as matzah mel, so that he can do the brachas hamotzi and benching afterwards. Even though it's matzah mel, the matzah mel is hamotzi. You know, it's ground matzah. A person takes breadcrumbs, you know, little pieces of bread. Breadcrumbs, the bracha is samoitzi, and you, if you have enough, you bench afterwards. So the fact that you grind it alone doesn't change the status. Okay, now.
So breadcrumbs at anything would be hamotzi?
What?
You're saying breadcrumbs at anything would be hamotzi? I'm sorry, I missed.
Right now, I've taken bread, I've ground it up, and I'm eating a meal of breadcrumbs.
Oh, just a whole meal. Okay.
I'm eating breadcrumbs. Okay. I'm eating breadcrumbs. So breadcrumbs are hamotzi. Right, the bread. Right, the fact the little pieces doesn't change anything. Okay, now I cook them. So cooking changes its status. Cooking bread changes its status with one exception. If it's a kezias of bread, even if you cook it, it remains a moitzi. If it's less than a kezias of bread, cooking it makes it no longer the status of a moitzi.
You're saying whole.
Well, a piece the size of a kezias, right? So if I take it and I cook it, put it into a klirishin, put it into something which is either on the fire or off the fire, but it was something which is on the fire, and I stir it in and I mix it up, right? So that takes downgrades its status by doing that. I downgrade it from hamotzi into mezonos. Now that, once it's downgraded, remains mezonos no matter what. So if you eat that as much as you want, you still would make a mezonos and alamechia. So again, if you're still having this tremendous desire, the craving to have something which is bread and not bench on it, so here's your choice. Take bread and boil it and then eat it and make sure the pieces are less than a kezai. So I have challah kugel. Right? So challah kugel, I don't boil, I bake. So what's that? We'll get to that in a second. But something along those lines. So now, what's called boiling? It's boiling of water is called boiling. What are boiling in oil? So deep frying is considered boiling. If I put it in a pan and I put a little bit of oil there just to make sure that it doesn't burn, that's considered baking. That's called pancakes. Pancakes are a batter which I then bake on top of the oven. And so that's a pancake. If I put it in somewhere in the middle, which is not just enough to prevent it from burning, because that's submerged, that's a machloek is what its status is. And therefore, the Mishavur says you should only have it during the meal, because it's a suffolk bracha, and it's a challenging issue, it's a suffolk bracha. So if I take my French toast, so I don't put a little bit of oil there, just so I make it pieces less than a kezias. So I figure, make a piece of kezias, it was a moitzi. So I want to wash and French toast, fine. I want to come with French toast, which is mezonos French toast. So I take my bread, I cut it into squares, each one is less than a kezias. Great idea, and I fry it on. So I don't put a little bit of oil there, just to prevent it. I put oil enough that should give it flavor. But it's not submerged in oil. So here I have this machlokes, what do I do? So according to one opinion, it's still hamotzi. According to one opinion, it's a mezonos. And it's a mezonos to the point that no matter how much you eat, it's a mezonos. So you should only eat techasudo. Same thing with matzah brei. A person may make matzah brei. Right? So they crack it into pieces less than a kezias, and you fry it on top. Again, you use more than just a minimal amount of oil because you want to give it the flavor of the, you know, good cholesterol and stuff like that. Jewish cooking, right? You want to, you know, do that. You know, just a little amount just that it shouldn't burn. So that's what you're doing. It's going to be a suffix what the bracha is. However, there is a step in the process beforehand. If you soak bread, less than a kezias, in water, to the point that the water starts to turn white, which it starts leaching out the starch from the bread, that bread is no longer hamotzi. So if you want to make mezonos French toast or mezonos matzah brei, you soak it in water, not just for a few seconds, you let it sit in the water for a little bit, till it starts leaching out, and then you can, if the piece is less than a kezias, you can fry it, and the brachas mezonos, so you can eat as much as you want in the brachas mezonos and alamichia.
Is it only water, or does the...
So it's brought down in a lot of water.
But eggs or something like that?
It's theoretically, it has to be something which is going to leach it. I don't think eggs will leach it, but you know, you have to do something a little more thinner type of consistency. But the Shulchan Aruch gives another example, is soaking in a red wine. So yeah, that'd be really interesting French toast. I'm sure there's some gourmet cookbook which has it already out there, you know. Soaking your French toast, you know, in red wine.
Eggs and milk. Most people do French toast with
eggs. So milk theoretically would do it also. Milk is thin enough that if it's going to leach out the starch and start leaching out the starch, so that would be sufficient.
But that's only if you cut it into less than
kazayis. Kazayis is indestructible. Kazayis of bread is indestructible. Kazayis of bread is a moitzi. Has a moitzi. No matter what you do to it. It says you mix it with something which is a different color, and it absorbs that color, and you see that it's like, you know, getting like a whole different flavor because it's absorbing the color. That's also enough to change its status. Mm-hmm. So again, it'd be interesting if anybody experiments, let me know what it tastes like. Anyway,
egg would change it and make it yellow.
No, because it's not. It's a different type of. It's, I don't know. Eggs are much thicker. They don't really. It's a different type of.
It's like round coffee cake or something.
Okay, I'm sure it is, right? Okay. So now.
Can I ask a question on the pancakes? You said that if you made the pancakes and a person ate enough pancakes, that would be like a motzi then?
Theoretically, pancakes could be considered a motzi. Right.
So how many pancakes, you know, you make pancakes?
Yeah, you better be careful. Pancakes are like, you know, are like your crackers sitting there. Right, a person has like, you know, I don't know. Again, you go back to your loaf of bread, your six slices.
Is there a certain amount of time you have to eat it?
Cereal, because it's
not.
It doesn't look like bread.
Yes and no. If you eat an amount which you don't get satiated from, so there is a time limit. If you eat an amount which you're satiated from, there's no time limit. I mean, that's not 100% true. There is, you have to eat a kazayas during the Achilles Pras, but if you have this meal and you walk away feeling full, so that's chiyav sviya v'chalta v'savata. If you weren't seveya, so you're being chai for what you ate, you didn't eat it. So then we look about what the time lapse of how long you ate it for. But if you're trying to eat a meal which you're going to get full from, it's a problem.
So any mazonos that you're intending to eat that you know you're going to get full from, basically, you should just wash on it and do a hamotzi.
Well, again, it has to be mazonos, which is bread-like. I mean, you know, meets one of those criteria of bread, correct?
Right, like the
if I'm going to have a lot of pretzels.
Like the pretzels.
Or, right, so something like that, or a cake, or Kokosh cake would also be, you know, it depends.
Pancakes, anything like
that. Right, so that, there you have an issue. Okay, now let's just talk about that halacha. Let's say a person starts off eating, you know, three, four crackers and so, with no intent to eat more, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm hungry. Then why not have a whole thing? So what do you do? So it's like this. If from that point onwards, when you change your mind, so you decide you're going to have a large amount, and that amount you're going to eat from this point onwards is enough to, on its own, to be hamotzi. So you would say an alamichya, you would wash and say a brach of hamotzi, and you would say a bench at the end. If, however, it's only going to be the amount which requires the hamotzi together with what was eaten before, so you don't have to wash and say hamotzi. But you do have to bench at the end. So a person starts out eating one cracker, two crackers, and then he says, "You know, I just had a lot of crackers, right?" You know, so you would bench, even though you didn't wash, right? You know, the person says, "Wow, that whole sleeve, where did it go?" You know, so in that situation, you would bench even though you didn't wash beforehand. Mishnah Berurah says a fascinating halacha. So what about do you need a new brach in that situation? So the Mishnah Berurah says, yes. Why? Because from the fact that you said a mazonos at the beginning indicated you were planning to stop after a certain point. Because if you planned to eat the whole thing, you wouldn't have said a mazonos, you would have said a moitzi. So you made a clear declaration by your saying a mazonos that you don't plan to eat the whole thing. So now that you're changing your mind, you need a new bracha. However, he points out that's only someone who knows that halacha. You know, if you're eating crackers, somebody says you're eating some crackers, you need all this halacha. I said, I never knew that. So then you're planning to eat the whole sleeve with the mazarnas, then you would not need a new bracha. Well, but now that you've went to the shir, so then you'd have to make a new bracha. Okay.
So a person who's stressed out and eats only two, they're only planning to eat two pancakes, and then all of a sudden this start just keeps on eating. At the end of all those pancakes, they need to bench.
They bench. They wouldn't have moitzi.
They would bench.
Wash and then bench.
They would bench.
Well, if they realize before they get to that point, right? So depending where they realize, okay. What about challah kugel? So challah kugel is baked. Well, let me ask a different question. Let's go back to matzah mil. Matzah mil, I tell you, if a person eats matzah mil, you wash, you say hamoitzi, and you bench. So we make, if you eat kebrok, so you eat a paste of the cake, you take your matzah mil and you make a cake out of it, and you're the same as ours. So, and it's baked, it's not boiled. So the fact that you mix it with other ingredients, so that also downgrades it, and then you bake it together, it also downgrades it from the status of hamoitzi to mazonos. However, it depends if it's a kazayas or not. So I make challah kugel, I take my challah kugel and I mix it together with oil and with eggs and with sugar and I mix it and make this big mush and then I bake it. So if the pieces are less than a kazayas, the bracha is going to be mazonis and then an alamich. However, if the pieces are a kazayas is indestructible, so the bracha is going to be. So you have to be careful at that point. We always had this issue in the yeshiva. The cook used to make challah kugel, but she wasn't very diligent in making the pieces small. So we have, we always have the shaila, are the pieces considered a kazayas or not? And then we have the bracha would be hamotzi. You make a hamotzi on your challah kugel, a stuffing in a turkey. Right? It's breadcrumbs used for a stuffing. So you mix it with a lot of other things. You mix it so that's going to downgrade. And the pieces are less than a kazayas. So that is enough to make it into a mazonis and an alamichi at the end. So that's why your paste of the cake is going to be mazonos and alamichudant. Now, different than the case of soaking and boiling, where once it's a mazonos, it remains a mazonos, and there's no limit on how much you can eat. When you bake it, it gets an impossible kistna. So if you eat too much paste of the mazonos cake, you would say hamoitzi, and you would bench afterwards. So the same, because it's functioning now, like it's not worse than flour in that situation, that you would that's what you would do. Okay. Let's say you mix it, just one example to clarify this point. Let's say a person would take matzah mel, mix it just with water, and then bake it like that. I don't know what it would taste like, but it would be a mochi still. Because you haven't really changed the flavor, and that's the point. Is you've changed the flavor by adding all these other ingredients. That's the point. Okay. So we covered the halachos of hamotzi for the most part. Let's make sure that. Okay, we didn't really get into the halachos of farinas and those type of things too much. Yeah, just give me 1 second. I just want to touch on one more halacha. I'm trying to finish. I'm not down to 2 or 3 minutes. I'm trying to finish. So, a person eats a kernel of wheat. The bracha is adama. A person takes a kernel of wheat and he takes kernels of wheat, roasts them, and you can go to the health food stores and you can buy these kernels or whatever it is. You'd roast them, toast them, whatever it is. You'd eat them. The bracha is adama. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's preferable to only eat that during the meal, because the bracha, the first bracha is adama, but we know that anything which is one of the 7 species, which Eretz Yisrael has its praise for, the correct bracha afterwards is to make a special bracha, main cholish. So you make a main cholish on your dates, and your pomegranates, and your grapes, and your figs. You make an alamichya after we eat something made out of one of the 5 species. We look at the 5 species of grain as really subcategories of wheat and barley. That's how Halacha looks at it. So Tosfos says, so what, you eat a kernels of wheat, so you can't say alamichya, because it wasn't made into like a mazarnas type of a thing. But on the other hand, it's one of the 7 species. So Tosfos says the correct bracha afterwards would be bracha to Hashem l'kenem achalom ahalo hadama v'alpriyu hadama, and then the rest of the bracha that we say, the long bracha, you would say the bracha ahalo hadama v'alpriyu hadama. You've never said that in your life. You have not said that in your life. So it's a suffix. We don't say it, but therefore, because of the law, you should only eat during a meal. You don't get involved in the suffix bracha karema. Okay, so what's called a kernel of wheat? So now I take my kernel of wheat and I squash, and I make some type of a breakfast cereal out of it. So what's the bracha? So if the bracha rishon is adama, the bracha karema is alo adama, you better only eat it. Tachasuda, forget about your breakfast cereal. That's, you know, the whole mile of breakfast, you don't have to wash, right? You just have a quick bowl of cereal. Bran, by the way, if you just have bran alone, bran is a shahakal. Bran is the outer husk, and bran is a shahakal. We assume that this halacha, that the bracha is huadama, is... if a kernel is adama, you make oatmeal, why is the bracha mazonos? Because once it's been husked and taken off of the outer shell, and part of the and it's been cut in half, let's say, for example, the nature is the gluten there and the starch there clumps together and becomes a whole different type. So oatmeal looks different than just cooked pieces of oats beforehand. Farina looks different than just it clumps together. So at what point do we assume that it clumps together? We assume once you remove some of the actual endosperm of the wheat. So the average milling process takes up some of the endosperm also. So anything which is then cooked together, the bracha will be mazonos and alamichya. Let's say it's not cooked together, but let's say it's baked with some oil and some honey and some nuts and something like that, and you press it together. So it becomes a mush, but then because it wasn't because it clumped together, it's because you pushed it together, i.e. granola. Right? Granola is oats, which that's what you do with it. So what's the bracha over there? So this is the machlokes, see the modern paiskim. What you're supposed to do with that? According to my understanding, the correct bracha over there is hadama. Or Hanuman actually holds the correct bracha, but there is mazonos. So if you go to the Star K website, they will tell you that certain types of granola bars are mazonos. And they will say certain types are not. But that's because they're processed differently. But according to my understanding, they're all hadamah. Now you get involved in Tosis's question. What's the right bracha achrona? And you have a granola bar. So what's the correct bracha achrona? Is it bren afashos? Or is it alo adam of alpiyah the mush? Well, it's come to Torah Shem. It's this strange bracha that you never said in your life. So you only eat granola during the meal. It's like it loses the whole geshmak of granola. So here's the eitzah. Here's the question Liana asked about time limits. So there, you're not making a meal out of granola. I mean, so you're eating just the granola bar. So if you eat less than a kazayas in the time called kazay achilas pras, you make no bracha achron at all. So how long is that? So we assume that's 5 minutes. So a person eats less than a kazayas, waits 5 minutes, eats again less than a kazayas, you don't make no bracha achron at all, and therefore there's no shaila what to do. So how much is a kazayas? So your Nature Valley granola bar, is, again, they get smaller and smaller. The package remains the same size, but what the size gets smaller and smaller. But when they used to fill the whole sleeve, one of them is less than a kazayas. Kazayas is about 1 1/4. So a person eats one of those, you come packages of two, eat one at a time, wait 5 minutes, eat a second one, and you do like that, so you have no shilas about what to do. So bracha rishona is hadama, and the bracha achrona is nothing. Now if you eat something, you drink something else, you make a bracha achrona on that. Now, b'diavad, if you ate it all together, we said the ikar bracha is that you make a brain of fashas. So in case of a sof, you actually did do it, you would make a brain of fashas, but it's preferred not to be in that situation and get involved in any shilas. Okay. Okay, we did cover everything, but that's life. Okay.